Okay. Just me again. I should stop saying that. I should stop saying just me. You know, it's my show. I'm the host of the show, so you're at least, even when there's a guest, you're at least half here for me, maybe. And this is one of the, this is a kind of episode that we do, and we're just doing two in a row because it's been that kind of stretch. It's been hard for me to set up interviews and to be consistent with my content, and we're going to talk all about that. We're going to talk all about that coming up on the show, but we'll start with some business here. First, patreon.com/AustinArger. You can support this show and all the content that I make on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and Twitter over at patreon.com/AustinArger. We love the Patreon patrons so much and are just so immensely grateful for their support. Just love those people so much. And if that's something that you feel like you can incorporate into your life, we would love to have you there. Patreon.com/AustinArger. It's Bandcamp Friday, this Friday. So if you missed the last one and you thought, you know what, I'm going to get it on the next one. You know, we got the new album out. Now that's what I call a bunch of Austin Archer's TikTok songs compiled into an album, Volume 3, dropped last Bandcamp Friday, but it's Bandcamp Friday again. So this should be, I mean, you know, it's Thursday now, and this should be tomorrow. If you want to go over to Bandcamp and get an album or two or three or four, it's always linked in my bio. But if you can't, if you're a person who struggles with bio links, it's AustinArcherMusic.bandcamp.com. If you want to check that out, how's everybody doing? You doing okay? How's your heart? How you feeling? Oh, geez, lots of stuff going on in the world right now, right? Yeah. Again, we'll get into it. Let's do a little bit of
review.
Who caught last week where I just completely forgot to put it in? I listened to the episode last week, and as it was coming up to that point in the episode, this point where the sound drop comes in, I knew. I was like, oh, shit, I never put the sound drop in. And I'm like listening to it in my car, I'm driving, and I'm like, all right, let's go to our favorite segment. And I was like, oh, I didn't put the sound drop. I just knew. I was like, I didn't. And then it's just me just silent for like 7 seconds. So God, I'm so excited about the fact that we finally have that sound drop for Review the Review. And I, like the third episode that we've had it, I forgot to put it in, but this is Review the Review. The way that it works, if this is your first episode you're ever listening to of this podcast, is, you go over to Apple Podcasts and you give the show a 5-star rating, and then you write a review, and then I read it on the show and I review you back. Simple concept, right? So let's go to a couple of these. This is from Nelson, A865, who writes, blown away, 5 stars. I found Austin via TikTok and really enjoy his quick bites of humor and insight. The podcast is a journey through topics abstract and finite that we all likely ponder, but maybe don't talk about. He adds pauses and spots that help digest and process what was just said, which makes it feel more like a silent conversation. Keep it up, Austin. Thank you so much, Nelson 865. I wonder what you mean by that he adds pauses. Do you mean like when we pause between intro and out, and like the intro and the interview, and there's like music? Or do you mean when I forget to put in the review drop, and it's just 7 seconds of silence until I start speaking again, like those kinds of pauses? Or, I mean, are there like pauses in the conversations where people are, you know, some podcasts might want to be like no dead air. And maybe there are a few, like that, there's that one episode where I let everyone listen to the crackling fire for a little bit. But I mean, this is a nice review. This is nice. I'm glad, you know, I'm glad that you're blown away by it. You know, I think it's a nice little treat. I think people who find me through TikTok, which is a lot of people who listen to this show, I think this is a nice little hidden treat that, like, not nearly everyone is over here on this podcast. Not even close. Not even close to 0.001% of the TikTok followers are listening to the podcast. So those of you who have made it over here, congrats to you. And thanks for this lovely review, Nelson. I thought I was touched by your kind words, and they seemed very sincere and earnest, and I really appreciated that. Let's do one more. This is from, I don't know if it's Kari or Carrie, but it's spelled C-A-R-I, and there's a little emoji of like a cat next to it, I think. It's like a Carrie cat. Kari cat? And the title says, great podcast with 100 emoji. This person likes emojis a lot. 5 stars. Austin brings humor and sometimes brutal honesty to his life experiences. I love listening to his content. Highly recommend this podcast. I had to read that one today because it's very thematic for this episode. Very thematic. So thank you for that review and thank you for unwittingly writing a review that ties so well into what I wanted to talk about today. Kari or Carrie cat emoji. Just a quick little review on your review. I dig that you're kind of just like an emoji person and that you put emojis with things. I can't tell what this emoji is. I can't tell if it's a little kitty or not. It's too small. So that's the only critique I would have, is that the emoji is too small. I don't know if it's like a ferret or like it looks like a cat. Could be a dog. It's so small. It could be a little bobcat or something. That like it could be a tiger. And it's so small. I'm guessing a cat. And that's all. But thank you for writing a review that hits the theme of the show. I doubt you knew you were doing that when you wrote it. But yeah. Let's get into it then. Let's do it. We're here, right? Let's jump in. Like, why stall any further? From a Blankenfort recording studio in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood, this is People Pleaser. I'm Austin Archer, and today it's just me, and I'm talking to you all about kind of about like what's going on in the world right now on a global scale, on a macro level. And what's going on in the world on a micro level in my life at the same time. And having a little discussion about this idea that's been rattling around in my head for a while of just how, for the last few weeks, of just how life is never about just one thing, ever. It's always multiple things layered on top of each other all at once. And, It's never just one thing. Sometimes there's one thing that really takes the forefront. There's one thing that's really, really present. And that's like the thing that's the loudest, the thing that's the most in, you know, but if you actually take a step back and look at it, it's still like, it's always layers. It's never just one thing. It's never just one emotion in a day. Even if you have a day that's like mostly bad feelings, that's like mostly depression. Chances are, even if you spent the entire day in bed scrolling your phone, chances are there were a couple times that day where you read something or saw a meme or saw a video that made you chuckle. And maybe you even like texted a friend, like shared the video, they texted something back that made you laugh, and you're like, haha, and yeah, like it's never just one thing. And so that's sort of what I want to talk about here. I'm going to start out like I do sometimes with a little anecdote. I went to Las Vegas this last week, about a week ago now. I drove out to Vegas to do this show called Viral Live that Sarah Hester Ross, who's a TikToker, she's a performer, great singer, amazing singer, just like this huge, amazing, insane voice. And she's a performer in Las Vegas, and she put together this show called Viral Live where she's inviting internet people out to be part of this like comedy variety show. And I didn't really know what it was going to be, what it was going to look like, what the venue was going to look like, but she reached out and just said, hey, you want to do this? And I was like, you know what? I've been trying to get back up on stage. Let's go do it. So some weird things. I probably from the time I was 8 years old, I've been on stage in at least one play or performing in front of an audience in some capacity at least once every year of my life, up until the year I was like 31. So like up until age 31, like from like 8 to 31, didn't miss a year of performing in front of a live audience. Usually I was doing 2 or 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7 shows sometimes a year, whether that was like 4 or 5 plays and musicals, and then like a bunch of shows with like bands and things like that, you know, performing in choir in high school and doing the high school shows and doing live music and doing talent shows and doing whatever, dancing. I spent my life in front of audiences, and I didn't really plan it. Obviously I didn't plan the pandemic. And I didn't expect that, and none of us really did have that on our calendar. But it had become such a normal thing in my life, and it went away. And I think it's the same for a lot of live performers, that like the opportunities for us to do the thing that we've become very accustomed to doing just sort of disappeared with the pandemic. And so somehow or other, I wound up not getting on stage for the last 3 years. It had been 3 years since I had been in front of a live audience. And that's that's a long time for someone who has been in front of audiences so regularly. Now, in that time, obviously there was the social media glow up, and I was doing several live streams a week. So I'm technically in front of an audience, and that's a whole beast in and of itself. Live streaming is really weird and surreal. When I was first starting doing it, I remember there was like the feeling of like, oh, there's people here. There's people watching this, you know, it is a show. And I still get, I kind of click into show mode whenever I go into a live stream, if I'm doing TikTok live or, you know, something like that. I click into performer mode, and it definitely is. It's sort of it gets some of the energy of live performance, but it's nowhere near the energy of actually being in a room with people. So I hadn't been in front of an audience in 3 years. So that's the first thing, is Sarah Hester Ross says, come to Vegas, do this show. And I'm like, okay, I gotta break the seal. I gotta get back on stage. I gotta start getting into it somehow. The other thing is, it's a comedy show. And I know I make funny videos on the internet and stuff like that, but like, I've only done comedy just as me, as just Austin Archer getting in front of an audience and doing comedy. I've only done a handful of open mics in small New York City bars in like Brooklyn, it's an open mic night for anybody, for amateur comics. And usually I was pretty drunk when I did those. And I usually just sort of made stuff up. I'd never in my life ever done original material that I wrote out and planned and got, you know, was like, here's my set. I hope people laugh at this. I'd never done that before. So I was really, not only was I getting back in front of an audience for the first time in 3 years, but I was trying original material for the first time ever in front of an audience. And I was trying stuff from my TikTok catalog. Like, I was going to sing some of my TikTok songs live in front of these people and see if they play live in front of an audience, see if it translates, and not knowing at all if it would. And I sort of thought I guess I had in my head that like, this is a new thing that Sarah's doing. I didn't feel like it was going to be that high of stakes, and that it would just sort of, I figured that the other performers there were also just TikTokers too. So we were all just like, it was okay if we weren't great and if we weren't like seasoned professional comics or anything like that. And it's okay if we're just sort of working out ideas in front of the audience and everything. I think I just sort of told myself that to make myself feel better. But yeah, so that those are the two things going into it. And the third thing that's going into it, and I've talked a little bit about this publicly, and this goes back to our friend Kari or Carrie's review talking about my ruthless or relentless brutal honesty. And we're just starting. This is the tip of the iceberg of the honesty on this episode of the podcast. But I've talked about how I struggle with anxiety and panic attacks and things like that. I've talked about that on this show. And I've talked about how I used to have very regular panic attacks, very regular, like, you know, multiple panic attacks a week, you know, for years. And I always had just sort of a base resting level of anxiety. And the only time I ever felt sort of free from that was when I was finally got to hit the bar at night. And then I would drink through the night and sort of numb myself out and then wake up and the nightmare would start all over again because, like, the withdrawals from the amount that I drank the night before and the dehydration exacerbate the anxiety and make it worse. And so it was just sort of like this vicious cycle of, like, treating the anxiety at night and then starting over all over again in the morning with a hangover and having to get to work and being dehydrated and shaking and having a panic attack on the train on the way to work or, you know, in my car. And I got sober, anxiety kind of went away. And for like a year and a half, the first year and a half I was sober, I was sort of like free from my anxiety. It was like a miracle. It was amazing. It was that and my suicidal ideation. I used to be very, very suicidal when I was drinking. And I didn't want to die anymore. And I was sober. And another thing that was happening was I was in this like really lovely relationship. It's recommended in Alcoholics Anonymous that you not date someone your first year of sobriety. It's really recommended that you just focus on getting sober because you have enough on your plate worrying about trying to learn a completely new set of skills for how you're going to deal with conflict, how you're going to deal with discomfort, how you're going to approach life. You have an entirely new set of skills that you're trying to learn. So while you're doing that, it's recommended that you not also try to like manage a new budding romance or relationship, you know, and it's good advice. And it's good advice that I had no interest in taking because I saw an opportunity with this person who I had been friends with for years, and she was single and I was single and we were sort of lining up in this really cool way. I was moving to LA. She was moving to LA. She was one of those people that I was like, if this person ever is into the idea of dating me, I will shut it all down. And I'd been single. I'd been single for like 4 years at this point. And I had opportunities to date other women. And there was just no one that I was like super jazzed on. And this person popped into my life and I was like, hey, if she's into it, I'll do it. I'll be in a relationship, even though my sponsor and everybody in AA says not to. So I got in this relationship. It was really cool. It felt great. I was sober. This person was supporting my sobriety. I was sober and in love and I was moving to LA and it was exciting and cool. And I, you know, even with all that, all those changes and all that, I felt good. I wasn't depressed, I wasn't anxious, and I felt good. I felt really, really good and really, really hopeful. I promise I'm going to get back into my anecdote about the show. Fast forward, pandemic, right? Live performers have their jobs taken away, I become a famous TikToker, all that yada, yada, yada business. Also with the pandemic, though, and also with all of the people watching me on the internet, my anxiety comes back. All of a sudden, my old friend, my panic attacks start creeping back into my life. And I've talked on the podcast about like my troubles with going to the dentist. Like I decided last year to confront the dental work that I'd been putting off for years because I didn't have money to afford it. You know, with the social media stuff, I finally started having some money coming in and I was like, okay, I can go to the dentist and get all this stuff taken care of. But I had like a shit ton of things that needed to be done. And I started having like really bad anxiety and panic attacks at the dentist. So I had to deal with that and like be put under anesthesia when I would go into the dentist. And then it started happening when I would travel. And right now this year, my anxiety it's as bad as it's been in the time that I've been sober. It's really kicking my ass right now. It's just, it is on me every day and it's on me about everything. Everything in my life I'm scared of. And And it's not even that I'm scared of the thing itself. It's I'm scared that I'm going to have a panic attack while doing the thing. I'm going to New York in a month and I'm scared that I'm going to have a panic attack on the flight or something, or that I'm going to be in New York and I'm not going to be able to enjoy it because I'm going to be having panic attacks because New York's going to trigger something in me, like some kind of, you know, like the memory of being drunk and being in, you know, I don't know. I'm going to Ireland in August, all the way the fuck in August, you guys, with my family. And I have this idea in my head that I'm going to have a panic attack on the plane, on the flight to Ireland. And then I'm going to spend the vacation worrying about the flight home. And it's really like my anxiety's not letting me enjoy my life right now. And I have a lot of cool things in my life to enjoy. So how this ties in to Viral Live with Sarah Hester Ross, I'm sure you can guess. I'm going to do the show in Vegas, and I'm just so certain for the few weeks leading up to it that I've made a mistake in agreeing to do this show. Like I said, haven't been in front of an audience in years, haven't done my own original material ever. And also I've got this, my anxiety is just wreaking havoc on me right now. And I did my normal thing that I do when I'm very anxiety riddled on the day of a thing. I drove to Vegas that day and I didn't eat breakfast. And I ate a light lunch of like snacks. I brought a banana with me in the car and had like some nuts, and I got a donut at one of the truck stops that I stopped at because it just sounded good. And usually when I'm anxious, like if something sounds like I can eat it, I'll just take it because it's hard for me to eat on days like that. And I wanted something. Something's better than nothing. So I had a donut and a banana and some nuts. And, you know, long story short, anyway, I pull into Vegas and like this goes back to the theme of like, it's everything at once, right? It's not just a day-long panic attack. It's also like I'm pulling into Vegas and I'm trying to have that moment of looking around and going, hey, look, for a second, bud, for a second, set aside the anxiety and all this stuff and just sort of like take a second to check in with where you're at as an entertainer, as an artist, as a performer. You're about to do one of your favorite things in the entire world, which is performing in front of a live audience, something you've been doing your entire life, and you're about to do it at a venue in Las Vegas that you've been invited to come to because you're like a known personality now. For like, I had to stop and go like, I'm getting off the freeway and I'm driving into the Vegas, which is the weirdest town. It's such a weird town. I was trying to explain it to my dad because my mom and dad came into Vegas from southern Utah where they have a house. Which is, it's like an hour and a half away from Vegas. So they came in to watch the show, and I was talking to my mom and dad about it. And I was like, this town, it's like it's a movie set for a city, you know? It's like a movie set of a city in like a fictional universe. Like that, this is what it's like. Every business in Vegas isn't its own thing. It's all part of the show of Las Vegas. So a McDonald's in Las Vegas isn't just a McDonald's. It's a Las Vegas McDonald's. It has to have the aesthetic and the lights and the look of Las Vegas, and everything, every store is participating in the Vegas aesthetic and the Vegas show. And it's weird. It's a weird, there's not a lot of places like it and like that, where like the whole town is in on the thing, where it's like that we're, you know, and it's also very much like a city-sized theme park. There's like different, it's kind of, you know how theme parks have different areas, Frontierland, and over here we got like, yeah, old timey place, Fantasyland, Futureland, Vegas has that. Vegas has that. Like Fremont Street is this area where it's like outdoor club land. It's a club, but it's outside and it's in the street. There's the strip where there's all the chapels where you go down and there's like this little strip where like for like three blocks straight, that's where all the chapels are. All the little chapels where you can get married by a guy dressed like Elvis or whatever, you know? And there's these different little areas to Vegas. Then there's like the main strip with all the big heavy hitter casinos, you know, and that's like Casinoville. That's the main attraction thing. But there's all these different little areas. Anyway, I am getting distracted just by how weird Vegas is. But it's again, all of these things at once. It's not just my burgeoning panic attack. It's not just my anxiety. It's like the pontificating on the weirdness of Las Vegas. It's my back hurts from the drive. It's trying to take in the fact that I'm about to play a set in Vegas, and I don't really know what it's going to look like. And I'm my parents have told me that they looked online and that there weren't that many tickets sold. So I'm thinking like, hey, look, stakes are low. It's this weird venue on Fremont Street, and there's probably going to be 20 to 30 people there. Who cares? I get there. I'm one of the first performers to show up to our – we have a little tech run before the show starts, and I walk in, and it's like – instantly I'm sort of like intimidated by the venue because it was just bigger than I thought it was going to be. There were more tables for audience than I thought there were going to be, and the stage was more legit than I guess I expected it to be. I think I guess in my head, I thought it was going to look like if somebody did a small comedy show in LA or in New York, it would be in a much smaller theater. It would be in a little, like it would be like in a bar with like a back area that has like a performance area, or it would be like in a small black box theater, or, you know, it would be much this, but this was like, it was a big performance venue, a big Las Vegas with a stage and a stage manager and a sound designer, and like it was like a real show. And so already I'm going, oh, I don't know if I have a set that is up to snuff for this environment. Anxiety's going up. What I usually do at this point when I'm on set, if I'm like shooting a commercial or a TV show or a movie and I get nervous, is I look for other people who might be nervous too. I try to remember that I'm not the only person here who might be nervous. And I start, rather than being stuck in my own head about what's going on, I just start talking to people and I tell them, I let them know that I'm nervous. I let them know what's going on internally. I ask them how they're doing. I try to get them talking about what it is that they're planning on doing that night or today on like, how'd you get into this business? How long have you been in the, you know, like just start talking to someone else to get outside of myself a little bit. So I start talking to some of the other performers. I'm telling them about how I've got this panic attack that's kind of brewing and how it's been 3 years since I've been on stage. And I'm trying to sort of get settled by doing that and reminding myself that like, hey, it's a 10 minute long set that I'm about to do, 15 max, and there's going to be 20 people here. Chill, bro. So showtime comes. I go out to the bathroom to go to the restroom before the show starts, because I don't want to have to pee while I'm also really nervous. And I come back to go through the house, the venue house, to get backstage. And there's like 200 people sitting in the audience. And I'm just like, oh, no. Come on. No. and there's more filing in. There's a line outside the door. And I'm like, oh, God damn it. And before I know it, the show starts. And the first few acts are... like the first person to go on, she's a real comic. She's an LA comic. She does shows in New York and LA all the time. And she has like real tested material that she knows the beats of and that she's done in front of an audience many times. I'm there with a guy named John D. Domenico, who is a very well-known Trump impersonator who does like Howard Stern's show all the time. And he's like one of the top Trump impersonators in the world right now. And he just performs all over the world doing Donald Trump. And he's there doing the show. And I just, it sort of hits me that I'm like, I know I need to get back up on stage at some point, but I don't think this is the way to do it. I don't think it like a real show in Las Vegas where there's real performers with real material, I should get up and just sort of be workshopping a new idea in front of people. But it's too late. It's too late. I have to go out and do it. And I'm backstage really feeling that the panic attack is imminent and I can't stop it. It's happening. I'm starting to think I might need to tell the stage manager that I can't go on, but we're talking moments away from the woman on stage saying my name and bringing me out. And the stage manager hands me my microphone that has my name on it. She goes, here you go. I just looked at her and, you know, my ears start to get staticky. My vision starts to blur. And I walk out on the stage when I hear my name. And I probably cut at least half of the stuff I was planning on saying because I just was in survival mode. I just needed to get in and out as quickly as possible. It helped that like the first five or six things I said got laughs. That helped calm me down a little bit. And then I instantly started freaking out again when my first song, which was the hardest song that I had prepared. It was the wordiest song. I instantly messed up the lyrics, like right off the bat. And it was a song that I had sung all week long in preparation for the show. And I had sung probably 30 times on the drive to Vegas that day and was nailing it like 99% of the time. And the reason I kept repeating it is because every once in a while I would flub because it was a very wordy song and very fast. And I was like, I gotta nail it. If I don't nail it, it doesn't work. I can't not nail it. I have to nail it. And right off the bat, I didn't nail it. And so that threw me. And then I wanted to set myself on fire and run off the stage and end the show. And I had to finish. And I had to just somehow keep it going and get through the rest of the show. And so I make it through. I survive. And I get off the stage, and usually when I make it through a really high anxiety situation like that, there's like a big feeling of relief, and it's almost euphoric. It's almost euphoric, the feeling of surviving something like that and being like, okay, that was really scary, and I did it. I didn't get that with this thing. I was still very anxious. I was still very uncomfortable, and it was almost like my brain just moved on to the next thing. It was like, okay, cool, now we got the play. I'm in a play right now, by the way, in Los Angeles, and my brain was like, okay, now we got the play to be worried about, because like that didn't go well. You just were in front of an audience and it wasn't comfortable at all. Now we got the play, and we got a whole week long run of the play. How are you going to do that? And then after that, we got to go to New York, and then after that, you got tour in June, and then after, like, you know, there was no rest. I didn't get to enjoy the fact that, like, I had made it through the set. I didn't get to enjoy the fact that, like, some of the things I said and did got laughs. I didn't get to, like, people were coming up to me backstage and going, like, hey, you just killed it, man. And it was like I couldn't even hear what they were saying. It was like, you know, like in Saving Private Ryan, when like a bomb will go off and all you hear is like the ringing in people's ears, and there's like a guy walking around without an arm and he's looking for his arm and he's just sort of shell-shocked. That's how I felt. I was just backstage and people were coming up and congratulating me and saying good job. And I just was sort of like, I don't know what just happened. And I feel like you're probably just saying that because you're supposed to, but okay, thank you. And then, you know, after the show, my parents, as they do, were very proud, and they told me that they had no idea that I was nervous. They said I didn't look nervous at all, didn't sound nervous. And, you know, I actually got the tape of the show today. They sent me the tape. They filmed it, and I watched it, and I was like, yeah, I don't look nervous. So, God, world's longest story ever. The point is, it wasn't just me up there doing a set. It was so many more things layered on top of each other. It's never just the one thing. It wasn't just the show that I was nervous about. It wasn't just the fact that I hadn't been in front of an audience in 3 years. It was that, and it was the fact that this was new material. It was the fact that I was performing with other seasoned performers. It was the fact that the audience was bigger than I thought it was going to be. The fact that there's some kind of expectation from me because I'm not just a nobody. There are people who might be in the audience who came out here specifically to see me, which there were. I found out afterward. I found out on stage. I was in the middle of one of my songs and this woman was singing along, and I kind of stopped and I went, you know the words to this song? And she goes, yeah. She was like, yeah, dude, I'm here to see you. And I talked to her after the show, and she hitchhiked out from Orange fucking County to the show, everyone. She was driving and her car broke down, and she hitchhiked to Las Vegas and bought a plane ticket home to watch me and the other performers perform in this show. It was wild. It was really, really weird. But so there, it's all that. And then it's also the fact that just like I'm aware that like right now my anxiety is like getting the better of me. And all of that's going on, and people in the audience can't see that, you know? This is what I'm trying to talk about. Okay, I'm trying to find a way to elucidate this idea. Because right now, in a macro sense, in the world, there is so much going on. And I am a person who has crafted my platform in a way where people expect from me, or at least I feel that they do, and it might be a self-imposed expectation, but people expect that when stuff like this goes down, when World War III looks like it's imminent, when major world leaders are threatening, you know, nuclear strikes, that someone like me will have something to say about it. That I'll have a podcast episode dedicated specifically to it, that I'll make several videos about it on my TikTok channel, that I'll make lots of posts about it, that I'll tweet about it. And it's that going on. There's that on the major world stage. There's also still, if you can believe it or not, a pandemic going on. There's also locally some really fucked up stuff going on. Like Greg Abbott in Texas is trying to introduce some really, really harmful legislation aimed toward trans youth that could be really, really harmful for trans kids in Texas. And there's a lot of anti-trans bills going around. There seems like there's always anti-trans bills going along, kind of like there's always, over the last couple of years, there's just always been the pandemic. Whatever major news story is in the forefront, there's also the pandemic. You can also say whatever major world news story is going on, there's also some kind of anti-trans bullshit that's probably going on somewhere too. There are so many things that people were asking, that people were messaging me and commenting on videos and asking for my attention on and asking for me to comment on. And, you know, it's because the performer that everyone sees, just like the guy that everyone saw at this show in Vegas, the performer, the guy that you see in the videos that I'm putting out, whether I'm making a silly video like the Prince Charming videos that I do, or even just the person that you hear in the podcast talking to London Laz about how we're both killing it and how our careers are going, the performer looks like he's more or less in control and has it together. The performer Austin Archer online right now, I've, just for the sake of moving forward and keeping my brand and my business moving forward, I've continued more or less to post normally. And the reality is my personal life is really, really hard right now. And this is where we're going to get into the brutal honesty of this episode. My anxiety ruled my life for 11 years, and I got sober, and I got into a relationship. And the relationship was good. I didn't know if I was going to do an episode this week, because I knew if I did an episode, I wanted to talk about this, about how life is everything all at once, all the time, and how it's relentless, and how it doesn't stop, and how it's not just Ukraine and Russia, and how it's not just the U.S. bombing countries in Africa, and how it's not just COVID, and how it's not just anti-trans bills, and how it's not just the political divide, and, you know, Joe Biden's State of the Union address, or critical race theory, or any, it's always everything all at once. It's all those big things, and it's also personal. And I knew I wanted to talk about this if I did an episode, but I didn't know if I was ready to talk about this publicly. I haven't talked about it, primarily to preserve the anonymity and the feelings of the other person that this involves. And also because I think I felt that talking about it at all publicly would mean that it is real. And there's been so many parts of this process that have made it real. It just keeps getting more and more real. And this is This is one of them. You've probably figured it out. And I'm sure if you're an eagle-eyed fan and a watcher of the content, even though I've kept things funny and I've kept things light, you've probably noticed that that my apartment looks a little different and it feels a little different around here. And there's a person that's not here anymore. This is one of those pauses that the other person who wrote a review was talking about. I'm not going to go into details on what happened. I'm going to keep that for myself and for people who know me really well. And I hope that you can understand that. But my relationship ended, as things do. Things end, things begin, things live, and things end. Jobs, lives, relationships. I thought that this one was going to be longer than it was, and it was as long as it was. I want to say something before I move on in the conversation and in the podcast. I am very open with inviting the listeners of this podcast and the people who follow me online to reach out to me. I always like it when people reach out with comments on the episodes, with like some people reached out about last week's episode, and I was going to talk about that a little bit, but I got very sidetracked with my stories. But some people reached out with their thoughts on my thought experiment about should we be, you know, testing people for intelligence to vote and things like that. And people gave me some really good feedback, and I'm very open with that. And I love it when people reach out with feedback on the podcast or on videos or just like ideas. I'm always really open about that. I'm going to ask if it's not too much to ask that, even though I am sharing this publicly right now, please. I don't really want to have a full inbox of people sharing their condolences about this. I have people in my life that I'm talking with about it, and that I'm sharing with about it, or sharing about it with, and while I appreciate the sentiment that you might feel like I want to reach out to this guy and tell him, you know, that like I'm sorry, or like, you know, like like whatever it is that you want to say, I would just ask that you just refrain, please. And please, 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 for the love of God, please do not reach out to my ex-partner. Please do not. Please do not reach out to Mary and say, hey, I was listening to Austin's podcast and I heard that you guys, please don't do that. Please respect her privacy and her process. So that's why. So again, so I will not go into any more detail on it. It's nothing bad. I'll say that. It's not like nobody did anything wrong. It just ended, and I've been living alone for the last few months. And you know, I think you might have picked that up in my birthday episode where I said I was out in the woods by myself at a cabin alone. Yeah. And I think that, so my point is, something that's been giving me comfort right now, and the reason I wanted to talk about this is I realized that, you know, I'm maybe not the only one who's going through something like this. I know that the pandemic was really hard on a lot of people and a lot of people's relationships, and I know that this is kind of a common story that's going around. And the interesting thing that anxiety and depression do to you is they really isolate you inside of your own story. They really kind of imprison you inside of... I'm like burping like crazy right now. I am so sorry if you can hear these little mini burps. I ate before this podcast the largest burrito I've ever seen in my life. I ordered it from someplace on Uber Eats. And I just was not prepared for the size of this burrito. It was, not kidding, the size of an actual regulation size football. It was so, so big and heavy, and I ate like 2/3 of it. And it's all coming up right now as I'm talking about my anxiety and everything like that. God, what was I saying? Anxiety and depression. They sort of isolate you inside of yourself. They make you self-obsessed. They make you very obsessed with your own story and with the, you get very, very into your own sad story, and you sort of become a character in this movie where you're like suffering and you just see yourself you can like see yourself from the outside, this sad look on your face as you listen to sad music and cry in the car or whatever. You get very self-indulgent with anxiety and depression, at least I do. And the cure to that is to somehow get outside of yourself and to find a way to be of service and to not only be of service to other people, but to be of service to yourself too, to be like, I'm going to do nice things for myself. I'm going to like exercise and eat healthy. But that's the catch-22 of depression and anxiety is you know the things you need to do to get better and you can't do them because depression and anxiety make it very hard to do those things. So it's this constant tug of war. I know that a thing that will really help me is trying to find ways to, while I'm in this very volatile state, see if I can use it to be of service in some way. That's what I'm hoping to do with this episode, is to A, let you know that if you're going through something, some kind of loss, some kind of grief process, you're not alone. And also, like, you know, it's okay to feel your way through that and take the time that it takes to feel through that. I'm you know, a little over 2 months into this thing, and I'm nowhere near feeling better about it. I don't at all feel like I'm getting better. I just am like, I'm just very, very hurt and sad and confused. And, you know, it's just, but I'm trying to allow it. I'm trying to allow it and accept it and just let it be what it is. And the other thing I wanted to say about this is like, if you feel an expectation to be doing something more while you're in a process like this, or while you're struggling with, you know, I don't know, I guess I'm saying this as much to myself as I am to anyone who's listening, like, try to go easy on yourself. Try to do what you can. Absolutely. You gotta try to get out of bed. You gotta try to exercise if you can. You gotta try to not eat football-sized burritos at 10 o'clock at night. You gotta try to see if you can help someone else and not be so wrapped up in your own story. You gotta try to do those things to feel better. But if there are days where it's just so hard and all you can really do is like maybe get like a few dishes cleaned, maybe do your laundry, like allow it, okay? Allow it. Now, you don't want to completely get lost in there and spend the rest of your life in that space, but like allow it in a sense where you know it's temporary and where you know, don't fight it off. Like let it happen. But the other thing about that too, of like that expectation is like, so like with me, I guess I'm also saying this too. It's like, it's multifaceted. It's like one prong is like, I want to be helpful. I want to see if I can be helpful and just sort of see if I can offer something that someone can relate to. And the other prong is just to sort of like maybe even explain. Like, there's a lot of you that follow pretty closely and that watch a lot of the stuff that I do, and I feel like maybe you've been getting an energy off of me, whether it's the way that I'm responding to comments or even just like my capacity for being able to deal with some of the things that are happening in the world right now. And like, honestly, it's like, I want to get involved. I want to do something. I want to advocate to talk about how much Greg Abbott pisses me off. I want to talk about how much Ron DeSantis pisses me off. I want to talk about how insane I think world leaders who still think that armed conflict is a way to accomplish anything is that the fact that that's still a thing, and it's not just Vladimir Putin. We're doing it too. Joe Biden's doing it. Like, I want to talk about all this stuff. I want to be my old self. I want to be the entertainer that people started following. You know, I want to be, and I feel like I'm not, and I'm not saying this too to say like feel bad for me, because nobody put the microphone in my hand. I went down to the store and I bought the microphone and I bought the camera and I put myself out there, and I'm the one who crafted my platform to be what it is. But I guess I'm just trying to say, like, a big part of my platform and a big part of this podcast, as this that reviewer said, is honesty. And I'm just trying to sort of say, this is my life right now, and this is what's going on. I'm grieving heavily, and I'm doing my best, and I'm trying to show up. And again, my life is not just this grief process. It's not just this. It's that show in Vegas that I did. I had to get ready for that. It's still the content. It's still this podcast. It's this play I'm doing. It's crazy. My friend Witt, who's been on the podcast, wrote this play, and it's beautiful. And it mirrors my life right now in many ways, which is great. And the actors in it are incredible, and they're giving me a life, and they're inspiring me. And I'm going to rehearsal every night, and I'm watching really good actors do good work. And it's something I haven't seen in years. Everything that I've been doing for the last few years has been by myself in my apartment. And I'm like, I'm doing a play in LA with like there's a person in my play who's one of the main characters in The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. And that's, if you know me, you know that that's one of my favorite movies of all time. I have it tattooed on my arm. My mom just bought me a Team Zissou shirt recently. And one of the members of Team Zissou is in our cast. And like, it's wild. My buddy Witt is a well-connected guy, and he gets cool people to do his stuff. John Ross Bowie, who's a well-known TV actor, he had a regular role on The Big Bang Theory, and then he was a lead in the show Speechless on, I believe, CBS as well, and he's been in a million other TV shows. He's in the play, and it's cool. I'm like, with like real, like solid, good actors doing good material, and we're also doing it in like a punk rock way. We're like rehearsing in a living room in Van Nuys, and we're doing a week-long run at this little studio space in Koreatown, and like, nobody's got an ego about it. We're all just doing it because it's been too long since we've gotten up on stage and, like, done some real shit. And so we're doing it, and it's cool. And my life is that play. And it's the doom scroll of the news feed of international news. It's my content. It's a stupid little joke that I think of to make in a skit if I can stand making a skit that day. And it's also the biggest thing, the thing that I haven't been able to talk about until this episode is this monumental loss that I've experienced, this massive loss. And that thing is happening concurrently with one of the most exciting professional and creative years of my life. Last year was by far the most exciting professional and creative year of my life, and this year is shaping up to be even more so. And it's happening concurrently with this, like, massive disappointment in my personal life. And I think I don't even know what I want to say about that. I don't think I really even understand what it means. I think it's just the nature of, like, being compassionate with people. Sometimes people will come into my comments and be like, if I make a video, you know, like, I made a video last week about masks because the CDC, like, you know, made some announcements about the effectiveness of cloth masks. And how cloth masks aren't the most effective when it comes to preventing transmission and contraction of the Omicron variant. And all the anti-mask people were like, haha, the CDC has admitted that masks don't work. And so I made a video about, like, how masks do work, and the CDC wasn't saying they don't work. They were saying that, like, a surgical mask or an N95 is more effective than a cloth mask. Not that masks in general don't work and you should throw out masks altogether. And I made that video, and several people in the comments were like, I don't care about masks right now. Like, why aren't you talking about Ukraine? Why aren't you, you know? And then I've had a lot of people tagging me in videos about what Greg Abbott is doing and saying, why aren't you talking about this? And I don't know. I probably will get around to it. And I guess I'm just asking, please be patient with me. And also be patient with, like, each other, with people in the world. Like, whenever, I don't know, just, like, people aren't just one thing, you know? When you have an interaction with someone that's unpleasant, it's that does not encapsulate that person, that moment. It doesn't encapsulate you or them. There's just like an ocean of things that they are bringing to that interaction and that you are bringing to that interaction. It is so multifaceted and layered, all in the course of a day. Like, so much stuff happens every single day. And especially in our modern world with the internet, this podcast that you're listening to right now is going to be one small part of your day, and you are going to consume so much more content other than just this podcast. You are going to see so much more news and hear about new things that you weren't aware of all today. You're going to laugh today. You might even cry today. You might already have cried today. You're going to be afraid of something today. You're going to hear something today that makes you feel hopeful. It is so many things all at once. And I think I say that as a message of hope, not as a message of like to overwhelm you or to make you want to stall out and say, what's the point? But to say, if there's something that's got you down, the war in Ukraine, the persistence of the global pandemic, the fatigue of all of that, the persistence of anti-trans bills and dumbasses like Ron DeSantis and the disappointment of the Biden administration, like whatever it is that's got you down, I think as a message of hope that remember it's more than that, that your life is more than that, that it's simultaneously great things and awful things, you know? It's like as a building is being bombed somewhere and it's this awful thing that's being broadcast to us on the internet and we're watching a building blow up, we're watching people die in real time, someone somewhere is falling in love for the first time. For the first time, like some teenage kid somewhere is like, oh my God, this is it. This is it. And they're, or somebody's having their first kiss, somebody's having their first heartbreak, somebody, you know, so like, it's all this shit. It's all, you know what I'm fucking, I'm, oh my God, it's Thursday, y'all. You know what I'm so excited about? I'm going to see Batman tonight. It's all this stuff's going on, and I am so excited. 10 p.m. tonight at Universal City Walk, I'm going to see Batman, and I am so thrilled because I'm such a huge Matt Reeves fan, and I might even be doing a full episode on this podcast about Batman, so just deal with it, all right? Because I can't just always have my life be about just the awful stuff that's going on in the world, the awful stuff that's going on in my personal life. Like, it's got to be a mix, and I think that's what I'm trying to bring to this podcast, to my TikTok platform, is like, it's never just one thing over there. It's not just the songs. It's not just the skits. It's not just the political commentary. It's not just funny. Sometimes it's really sad, really vulnerable. Sometimes it's just straightforward. Like, here's my thought on this. Like, it's just responding to someone, but it's not really funny or sad. It's just sort of like, that's what I'm trying to bring to you as a product with this show, with the videos that I produce, is like something that feels like real life, something that feels honest. So I'm telling you about what's going on in my life because that's this show. That's what it is. That's what I'm doing here. That's what I've been doing on this podcast for 2 years. That's what I've been doing for the last 2 years on social media. And that's who I'm trying to be, because I think that's my best, being in that space, that's my best space of, or my best shot at being of service, you know, letting people know that, like, if you have an idea of me, if you see me walking out on stage and I look like the performer who's got it all together, just know that there's a whole ocean of shit going on underneath the surface. And I'm like you, and I'm a fucking person, and I'm dealing with my own demons and my own problems, and I'm finding my own way through it, you know? I'll tell you the the one good thing. So my anxiety's back. It's kicking my ass. There's two good things, actually. One is it's still not as bad as it was back when I was drinking. It's never gotten back to that level. And two is my suicidal ideation has never returned. I'm still fucking down to be here day after day. Even with everything I'm going through right now personally, I'm still down to be here. I'm still down to, like, keep doing it. And I'm still excited about the future and hopeful. And, yeah. Okay. All right. Whew. Made it through. Thank you for sticking around for that. If you did, I hope you weren't made too uncomfortable by my shows of emotion. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Again, I know that you'll probably want to reach out and say stuff. If we are very close friends who speak regularly, if we're people who know each other in real life, you can reach out and say hi if you want. If I would just ask, you know, if you got something you want to say about, like, the theme of the show today, about just, like, the idea of everything layered on top, yeah, you can reach out. I don't really want a ton of messages about my relationship. And again, please don't reach out to Mary. Leave her alone. She deserves to be able to just deal with this on her own, and in her own way and in her own time. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. That's it. That's the show. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music by going to austin-archer.com or by going to austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com. It's Bandcamp Friday tomorrow. Bandcamp Friday. Go pick up an album or two or three or four or five, if you want. My music and this podcast are mixed and mastered by Chris Bjorn over at Marmalade Music. Guess who else has an album out tomorrow? Chris Bjorn. Chris Bjorn's got a new album out tomorrow on Bandcamp. It's called Killer Tofu, and it is amazing. It's really, really good. It's his first album in years that he's putting out. So look up Chris Bjorn on Instagram. I think that his name is, like, Chris Marmalade Music or something, or go to themarmalademusic.com. I'll probably link his new album in my bio or something on Friday, because I love Chris. And anyway, if you want to work with Chris on something, you can go to themarmalademusic.com, tell him that you love his work over here. He'll give you 20% off your first project if you mention that I sent you. And go check out his album on Bandcamp Friday. And go check out your other indie artist friends' music on Bandcamp Friday. It's the day that Bandcamp gives 100% of sales to artists. It's really, really cool. All right. That's all. Love you all so much. We'll see you next week. Okay, bye-bye.